Welcome to Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. I'm Shaylock.
I'm Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter duo that is journeying our way through the Pokemon video game series, the anime, and Pokemon Adventures manga. And now we are currently in our Golden Silver season while we journey through Johto. This week our journey takes us through 7 episodes of the anime. Next week we'll have a few more along with some chapters of the manga to catch us up to the second gym. Seeing as last week we had just taken on Bugsy, the bug gym trainer. I was listening to some other podcasts recently, actually, about Bugsy. And did you... I don't remember if you said it or not in the last episode, but did you think Bugsy was a girl?
I mean, probably.
I have a feeling you did.
I'm terrible at telling people.
Well, especially when they're the little sprites, but I think because of the colored hair and everything like that, that probably helped. I was just curious because supposedly, from what I was listening to the other podcast, it's actually a common misconception as a lot of people thought Bugsy was a girl, even though they state, even in the game at some point, that he's a boy. Like, I think they say he's the bug gym trainer at some point, or whatever.
Well, I knew he was a boy at, like, this point.
Yeah, I know by this point.
Okay.
But I was just curious if, like, you had that misconception even after going into the gym, even after, like, I think some people have said stuff, but, like, we forget, because we, you know, we just go through the game chatting away, and we take breaks in between, and whatever.
I don't know, maybe.
Because then in the manga, well, I guess we'll cover that next time, but in the manga there's a misconception too. Alright, but before we dive into these episodes, let's talk about what's been going on outside of Routes Through Pokemon. Recently, as we wind down summer, we got a hold of some Shrouded Fable cards. I bought a couple of the EX packs that were out there, and one for myself and one for Ruby, and I let her pick which one she'd get. And what did you get, Ruby?
A Greninja EX.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool one. I kind of wanted it too, but I also was really excited for my Kingdra.
Cookie. Isn't he the cookie one?
The Kingler's cookie.
What's he? Wait, which one did you open?
Kingdra, the evolution of Seedra, which is the evolution of Horsey.
Oh yeah, it's close.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you would take that one or not just because you have Mizu in the story.
I was debating between the two.
But yeah, no, we're excited about that stuff. Trying to remember. Pokemon Go stuff. I know there's a new season coming up. I'm really excited about that. I think it's called Max Out or something. But we're going to be getting the 3 Galar starters finally. And they're going to introduce Dynamaxing into the game. I'm not sure how that all looks and works, but it'll be cool. And I may have mentioned it before, but I'm excited for more Peiko as well. So, yeah, excited for the new season. But then, yeah, then there was Community Day for Popplio, which was really fun. Me and Vavai and my wife went out and hit a few Pokestops and caught a bunch of Popplio. I caught about 9 shiny, I think. Because I always like to have a shiny for each stage. And then send one to my Pokemon home. So that takes 4. And I need enough to give to trade with you kids if you didn't get one. But Vavai caught his own.
Am I at the top, though, with the water? Because we picked types?
Yeah, I put which ones are... have priority based off types usually. Although with shiny, that's a little bit different. I kind of just save those for whoever like really takes to the certain type. Well, if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But like there are certain Pokemon that everybody just has like a favorite, whether it's their normal types that they like or whatever, that they really like the shiny version or whatever. So I take that into account too. And I know next month I'm hoping to get some shiny Kanto Ponyta since I never got one, so I can get the shiny Kanto Rapidash, but then more shiny Galarian Ponyta because I only have one that I've evolved already.
Well, I'm hoping to get a shiny of the Galarian Ponyta.
Yeah.
And evolve it.
I want all the shinies. My wife and I will actually be at a marriage retreat during that time, so we'll probably spend that time when that free time or whatever and walk around town.
I might just go for a nice long walk down the road with incense going.
Oh, there you go. That would be a good idea, actually. Yeah, incense lasts longer, too, on community days. Usually it's an hour for the regular incense, and it lasts 3 hours, which is the length of the community day stuff.
Doesn't the Avenger incense last longer?
No, it just lasts the 15 minutes, like usual. We got a few cool cards in our Shrouded Fable packs from the booster packs from the EX boxes. Oh, and I learned that there is a different Greninja out there in a pack. I'm not sure where you can... I want to say you can get them at GameStop or something, and maybe it's only exclusive there or whatever. But it's a fighting type Greninja because he's terrestrialized. And I'm like, I'm not a big fighting type person or whatever, but I still want it because mm-hmm. it just seems cool. Other than that, we're trying to get into the swing of a normal school season schedule, and we started reading The Princess Bride, which is fun. But yeah, I think that's about it as far as new stuff. All right. Well, then let's go ahead and jump into the anime. So today we'll be covering 7 episodes, starting with episode 16 of season 3, going all the way to episode 22 of season 3. They are For Crying Out Loud, Tanks a Lot, Charizard's Burning Ambition, Grin to Win, Chikorita's Big Upset, Foul Weather Friends, and The Superhero's Secret. Alright, so let's get started with the 134th episode, episode 16 of season 3, For Crying Out Loud, or Nakimushi Mariru, which is Crybaby Meryl. So I'm guessing Nakimushi must be Crybaby, and Mariru is Meryl.
Not surprising.
So, the gang are started out for Azalea Town, and Brock sees a girl he's in love with again! But then a Meryl with a bow on its tail shows up, so Misty tries to catch it. Despite the bow probably signifying that somebody owns it, the ball hits Meryl right in the face and it starts crying. And it is loud. Then that's when they all notice the bow and realize that's why Misty couldn't catch it. And the ball just bounced off of its head. So Brock calms the Meryl and Misty takes it, which unleashes the crying all over again until Brock takes it back. It turns out Meryl doesn't seem to like Misty. I wonder why. Maybe because you threw a Pokeball into its face. So, then a tractor pulls up out of nowhere, and the way they blocked this scene was really funny, because the farmers just started talking, and the way they're dressed and stuff, and you only see the two, it took me a little longer, not long, but a little longer to realize who this was than normal. Like, it actually, like, threw me for a second.
I'd say it's one of their better disguises, but I'm like, oh, two random people? Team Rocket.
Yep. So because we couldn't really see the shorter third farmer until somebody moved out of the way, and it turned out that this was Jesse and James and Meowth. And they offer to give the group a ride, so everybody loads up into the back. I don't think they even really choose to. I almost feel like they get pushed up there.
Yeah, I think they were more like, oh, we're fine. And they're like, just hop in.
Come on, get in.
I think James practically just put him in there.
Yeah. Anyway, they're in there one way or the other. In the hay, but then a secret trap springs, and the trailer of hay is left behind while the truck or tractor or whatever drives off with Meryl and Pikachu, because like a couple hands came out from the back of the truck part and grabbed those two.
Because they put the Pokemon in, which I was like, how did they know where they were staying? But then I was like, well, they put the Pokemon in there,
that's
so they
would know. And you know, this show thrives on coincidence anyway, and everything's just working out the way they need to. So, like Leaf Stones showing up. Oh man. Alright, so Team Rocket launch off into their motto as they're driving, and the truck goes down a hill, which causes their voices to fade so we don't even hear them anymore, thus interrupting the motto, making it so we miss a line or two, and then it pops back up and we hear the end of it.
Do they go up another hill? I thought they came back for a second.
Yeah, so they're going up a hill, and then they go down, and so we don't hear them, and then they come back up, so we hear the rest of it before they go down another hill.
Okay.
Which I figure might count as an irritating interruption, even though, like,
yeah,
we're the ones being interrupted from hearing it, because they got to still say it all.
Yeah. But the group's shouts get back here when they go down the hill, so I was wondering if they just, like, drove it back a second. And said the rest, and then left.
Oh, no, it's just them going up and down hills.
Okay.
So then Meryl cries, and it causes Team Rocket to lose control, because the cries cause everybody to freak out because it's so loud. And the Pokemon are free, and Team Rocket blasts off again!
Ding! Ding.
So Meryl and Pikachu end up inside a river as they got off the truck or whatever, because of the way it crashed and fell and stuff. And so Ash is running down there, but Misty's faster, and she passes them all, and I think she even hands off Togepi to Brock or something.
And I think she says, take care of him, or make sure he doesn't get hurt or something.
Yeah, something
I'm
like that.
He's darn well to do better than you, Misty.
Yeah, that was really funny, that she's like, take care of him. So, she ends up in the River or chasing them down and catching them and stuff.
She jumps in.
And then, after she had jumped in, they wash ashore, and Meryl won't stop crying, and Misty tries to help and gets pretty annoyed with Meryl, which does not help their relationship. Meryl also loses the ribbon that was tied to its tail. Meanwhile, the girl Broxaw thinks Pikachu is a Pokemon thief stealing her... thinks Ash is a Pokemon thief stealing her Meryl. But they get that figured out. Like, they work it all out and be like, no, that's not what's going on at all. Misty tries having Meryl use its super hearing like Tracy's Pokemon used to do in the Orange Islands. But when it doesn't work, Misty just starts yelling at the poor thing, which, of course, causes it to cry more. Come on, Misty. Ash, Brock, and the girl, Wilhelmina, are walking along, and Brock and Wilhelmina also have a moment, and it seems that they like each other. Oh, and earlier, when they learn her name, it was really funny, because he's like, I'm Brock. What's your name? Because he wants to inscribe it on his heart or something, I think he says. I don't remember. Something ridiculous. But she's like, Wilhelmina, Brock. As in, like, answering, but using his name in the answer just to talk to him. But he's like, what a coincidence that your last name is the same as my first name. And it was really funny. So yeah, as they're walking along, Togepi finds the Meryl ribbon. Meanwhile, Misty, Pikachu, and Meryl are wondering where to go, and Meryl chases after a Butterfree. It finds them flying in an area full of flowers, and so Meryl is adorable, trying to shoot water gun at them as they dip in and out of the tall grass and flowers and stuff. But this turns out that it upsets a ton of Weedle and Caterpie, who were out in those flowers that we couldn't see. And they show up, which of course freaks Misty out. And then the Beedrill show up and chase them down. Brock and Will have more moments together, and they see Pikachu and Misty and the Beedrill. So they turn and run the other way. They trip and fall, and Misty runs by them, along with Pikachu and Meryl, and the Beedrill fly by chasing Meryl. That trio runs into a dead end, so Misty has Pikachu use Thundershock and fry the Beedrill, who then retreat. Then a storm shows up with severe lightning, and so everyone finds huge trees and hides under them. This is one of the dumbest things they could be doing. You do not hide in a tall, tall tree in a lightning storm. While they take cover from the rain, Brock realizes that he will not get to have Wilhelmina and have her be happy at the same time, because she'll leave and be happy if she's reunited with Meryl. But if Meryl doesn't show up, she won't be happy, but she won't leave. The lightning and thunder scares Meryl, so she rushes off into the storm, crying. And then, what do you know? A tree gets hit by lightning. Shocker! Fortunately, it wasn't any of the ones they were hiding on, or under. And it sends that tree collapsing, and it would land on Meryl if not for a quick save from Misty. Eventually, the storm lets up, and Meryl and Misty bond a little bit after the rescue. Then, while on a bridge, some mechanical arms grabs the rope bridge and shakes it. This has come from Team Rocket and their balloon. They've returned. And they send the hands to grab Meryl and Pikachu, but Misty grabs onto the Meryl one, and they hang on and then fall because they are too heavy. And Misty is ready to defend Meryl, but they are saved from the fall by Chikorita's vines. Then Chikorita razor leafs and collapses Team Rocket's balloon. So Team Rocket sends Arbok and Weezing, and Misty tosses Poliwag at them, and Meryl saves Poliwag from Poison Sting. Then Pikachu gets in and shocks them all, and Team Rocket blasts off again!
Ding! Ding.
So, a nice double blasting off episode. Then, when it is time to leave, Brock is so sad to lose Will, and Misty and Meryl are so sad to be parted as well, but Misty smiles and waves to cheer Meryl up. And she's super sad about it, and the boys catch on, but then she pretends that she doesn't like Meryl and conceals it. And this week's Who's That Pokemon is Sentret. So I think we can expect to see him in the next episode. And there was only two tallies I saw this time. We had the irritating interruptions from the whole drifting off as they go down the hill and up. And we had an interesting intro.
Prepare for trouble. We just got two.
Make it double. We've got Meryl and Pikachu. And then they went into the rest of their motto that got, you know, interrupted. Now we gotta rate it. Where do you rank for crying out loud, Ruby?
I don't know. It wasn't like my favorite, but it wasn't terrible.
Okay, so yeah, I definitely put it down in the bottom somewhere. So our like 11 through 15 are The Whistle Stop, which was the Letty Butt episode, Little Bighorn, the Stantler episode, Flower Power, the Blossom episode, About with Sprout, which was Sprout Tower, and Roll On Pokemon, the Dawn Fan episode.
I think it's maybe a below Flower Power, but above About with Sprout.
Everything's above About with Sprout with you. Yeah, okay. I can get behind that. Because there was things I liked about it, but Meryl's crying was very obnoxious. And Misty was acting out of character when she yelled at Meryl, I felt like, when it couldn't listen very well. Alright. So then our next episode is Tanks a Lot, or Bakuso Otachi ando Togepi, Pasture Otachi and Togepi. So I'm guessing Otachi is Sentret.
And I'm guessing Togepi is Togepi.
Oh no, Togepi's probably Sentret. Otachi's probably Togepi.
You know, that does make sense.
So the group is resting on the road with Togepi, the only one awake, and trying to get Pikachu to join them, but gives up. Then a Sentret shows up and sees them. We then cut to a different Sentret going around asking other Sentrets about something, and it took me a little bit to realize this wasn't the same Sentret. I almost thought it was the Sentret saw the group and then went and reported what it saw to the other Sentret. Because they're all just saying Sentret.
I never could tell which Sentret was which, and so, yeah.
But it does turn out this was definitely a different Sentret looking for the first Sentret. Mother and child kind of situation, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to tell at one point, or at a certain point, but it took me a while to be like, what?
Yeah. Then we see Team Rocket has a new device. An Arbok tank. Or I think they call it, like, the Arbo tank or something at some point. So, that's another mark on broken bots for Team Rocket, because, you know, we know it's going to get broken.
Oh, you're just putting it there because we know it's going to
get broken. When they show up with a new machinery, it's not going to last forever. Well, I guess that's not completely true. The Gyarados sub and the Magikarp sub seem to last forever. They got broken a lot, but they still kept going.
Sure.
So then Sentret shows up to the groups and tries to get Togepi's attention, like Togepi did with Pikachu. Unfortunately, Sentret accidentally sends Togepi, who's still sleeping, rolling down the hill. Togepi wakes up, and it and Sentret become fast friends and roll down a hill together, sending them off a cliff and right into the Arbo tank. Because Team Rocket is currently outside where they parked it for a bit to, because they're going to sneak up on the twerps because they had seen them or spied on them or whatever. So then Togepi and Sentret accidentally start the tank and drive off. Then the other Sentret, so the mother or something, shows up and wakes up the gang. I don't remember, I wrote down a line that was in the episode that was really amusing to me, but I don't remember exactly where it came from, if an apple was in the tree, or if it was Brock who said it, or maybe James who said it, I don't know, but there was a line that went, an apple a day keeps the Chansey away, which I just thought was funny, because an apple a day keeps the doctor away, Chanseys are always the nurses at the... Anyway, the gang sees commotion and the tank, and goes chasing after it, which Team Rocket is also trying to do, because they want their tank back. And then a ton of Sentret try to stop it, but scatter before they get run over. The tank apparently cost Team Rocket all their savings. Again.
They use all their savings a lot, so I don't see why they're so upset about using
it. Right, it can't be a lot of money if they keep spending it anyway, right? So Team Rocket and Ash's group meet up in the chase and start arguing, and then they learn that Togepi and the Sentret are in there, which seems to be what the Sentret that woke the gang up is looking for. Togepi and Sentret are having a ball inside the tank. They don't see a problem, right? They're just having fun. Brock sets up a military station and comes up with a plan, so they're all dressed in, like, military gear, and he's, like, the general giving strategic orders or whatever.
Yep.
In their sudden makeshift tent. Where did they get the costumes? I don't know. Maybe Team Rocket supplied them for them.
Probably.
But anyway, they come up with a plan to dig a pit and trap the tank in mud. And it works. Because, like, I think Onyx digs the hole or something like that, and Squirtle and stuff help provide the water to turn it into mud because they throw rocks in it or something. I don't remember. It was all weird. And it does work. And then Pokemon are supposed to go in and rescue Sentret and Togepi. I think Pikachu is the one supposed to go in there to do it. But things short out in the tank while Pikachu is in there, and the tank gets back up and takes off again, somehow getting out of the mud. But now we have Pikachu riding alongside Togepi and Sentret, and of course Pikachu knows that there's a problem, unlike the other two. So then Team Rocket shows up with an interesting intro again. Turns out they made another hole, but this time for the Arbotank. Usually they dig it for the twerps, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, didn't they dress up in, like, Diglett costumes or something?
I don't know. Probably.
It was a really weird situation. I think even Misty or somebody's like, yeah, this got really weird. And then it moves on. So then Meowth is able to get into the Arbotank before it starts off again. And now it has four Pokemon caught inside.
Mm-hmm.
Arbotank is about to crash and be destroyed, but Togepi uses Metronome and there's an explosion. And the tank is then creating a cave through a mountain. And we never actually get able to figure out if it's the Metronome that did it or the tank itself that caused the hole in the wall.
We all know it was Metronome.
Probably. So then Brock brings back his military tent, and now Team Rocket is also geared up and in the meeting. They need to stop the tank before it gets through the mountain and destroys a town. Charizard and the older Sentret and Onix work together to try and stop the tank. Pikachu zaps controls, Charizard melts a window to let the Pokemon out, Meowth stays inside, and Team Rocket gets up there to try and stop it from exploding, but then it does explode anyway, which causes Team Rocket to blast off again! Ding! And Officer Jenny shows up from the town that was going to get demolished, and she's all congratulating them, and, like, they're all, at first they're worried because they caused all that trouble. They're like, no, this cave tunnel thing that you made is actually going to be great because we used to have to go all the way around. Now we can go right through.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked out, and Team Rocket actually helped without realizing they were helping. And the Who's That Pokemon this time is Igglybuff, which is the baby version of Jigglypuff. And Igglybuff does not feature in the next episode.
Yeah, they better have an Igglybuff if they're going to advertise that they're going to have an Igglybuff.
So this is definitely one of those instances where I don't know if we've had them already, but definitely one where we're getting new Pokemon that we have. I think we got a Pokemon that we'd seen before, like the Totodile or whatever, when it was going to be a Pokemon in the next episode that we already were introduced to. So we can assume, since Igglybuff isn't in it, that we're covering a Pokemon that we already know about, but we've never met Igglybuff. So this is a first tier, I think, of getting a Pokemon we haven't met.
They should just do the Pokemon that is being featured. Well,
which is what Japan does, or did, in their episodes. I told you this before.
I know that they did that in some English episode that I've watched, at least.
Hmm.
Where they would just zoom in on, like...
Maybe they do it in later seasons or something, I don't know. Alright, so, our tally this week is Busted Bots 1, the Arbotank, obviously. Togepi Trouble, which is when Togepi gets into trouble, and this one's all about Togepi getting into big mischief. Usually it's just the side thing, but this was a primary part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting intro, which is...
We've got something prepared you won't believe.
What's doubly deceiving is up our sleeve. Then Team Up Rocket. That's when Team Rocket teams up with the good guys to do good things. Granted, they were trying to deal with the mess that they made, but still.
Mm-hmm.
And they also wanted to save the tank, but still.
Mm-hmm.
They did team up. All right. And so now, to rank tanks a lot. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed all the antics. The tank defied physics on occasion, but still, it was fun. The gag of the military tent, Team Rocket teaming up is always fun. I always enjoy that. So there's a lot that put it a little higher up for me, for sure. Definitely not like the most stellar episode, but definitely a fun one. So, I don't know, I'm looking maybe around the Fighting Flyer with Fire, Snubble Snobbery, Don't Touch That Dial area.
Mm-hmm. Maybe above Snubble Snobbery.
Okay, so right underneath the Flying Gym, but above Snubble Snobbery?
Sure.
Yeah, we can put it there. So then our next episode, 18 of Season 3, Charizard's Burning Ambitions. So I think we know why we had a Pokemon that wasn't new for this episode showing up. Because it looks like Charizard might be our star. And in Japanese, it is Rizadon no Tani Mata Aohi Made Lizardon's Valley Until We Meet Again.
3 exclamation points. One after, yeah. Lizardon's Valley, and then 2 at the very end.
Yep. So that means Charizard's name in Japan is Lizardon or Rizodon. Alright, so the gang is worn out. Meowth is excited that they are, but Jesse and James seem to also be worn out and don't actually want to bother with them and maybe want to pick on someone else for a change. They even note how they have so few Pokemon compared to the rest of the gang, and that the gang has a Charizard. Then Misty claims that Ash uses Charizard all the time, which isn't true, especially since he doesn't use it when it would make a lot of sense to use it.
Yep.
Like, you know, flying over a broken bridge in the Letipo one.
Well, to be fair, it's explained in this episode. A little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Misty says it isn't fair, and Brock agrees since no one can stand a chance against Charizard.
Then they should go get their own Charizard.
But it's also not really true. I mean, Charizard almost lost in the flying gym. So then Team Rocket shout, because they are also talking about how it's not fair, but they're like separate. But it seems like they're talking about the same thing, basically. And they just shout out, "Not fair!" which echoes throughout this whole canyon area that they're walking through. And then a woman shows up, and she calls out for Charla, which is also a Charizard. Of course, you know, Brock is smitten with her. She talks about how she trains Charizard, and that she had heard of a trainer defeating the Violet City Gym using a Charizard. So she wanted to meet him, so she's kind of excited that Ash showed up. And then when Charla does show up, the female Charizard, because I think she has like a bow in her hair or something, or on her head, whatever.
Or right? Maybe the name Charla.
Yeah.
It's kind of obvious enough.
But when Charla shows up, she has like a hot air balloon carriage that she's carrying along behind her.
Mm-hmm.
So Brock and Misty can ride in there with the groceries, because she was apparently grocery shopping, this Charizard trainer. But Ash is supposed to follow along flying on his Charizard. The lady thinks that it's odd that Ash hasn't rid on Charizard at all, because he seems kind of flabbergasted about this suggestion. And when Ash asks Charizard, he says no. So the lady asks Charizard if Ash is too heavy for him, which is all it took to convince Charizard to do something. Now here's the thing. Back when Charizard finally, like the moment that Ash finally broke through the Charizard, that episode, he does ride on Charizard. But he's low to the ground, and he's shooting forward and angry. And it's for a brief amount of time to catch up with Pikachu and Team Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
So, that part's fine. However, in the movie, does he fly on Charizard in the movie to get back? Maybe he doesn't fly on Charizard.
I think he might fly on Charizard in Evolution, the second one, or the remake.
I don't remember that at all. And that doesn't matter. Remake don't matter.
Well, that's what, you watched the remake, right?
I did.
So I'm saying that you might have seen that.
I was just trying to think about when they're trying to cross the frozen water in Lugia, the movie.
Oh, that movie.
Yeah, the second movie. But maybe it didn't actually... No, I think Charizard helps, but it don't, like, to help pull the sleigh or something.
Charizard flies.
Yeah, but he doesn't actually fly with anybody on his back or carrying anybody. Because then they use Lugia to fly back the other way. Yeah, okay. So yeah, this all fits. Because, sure enough, Charizard is having a tough time with Ash on his back. Anyway, the lady leads them all to a place called the Charcific Valley, a place where Charizard are wild and basically train each other, making them very strong, because they're all trying to best each other. So when Ash shows up, because they weren't able to keep flying, they actually found a path where they kind of like walked and hopped or whatever with Ash on his back.
Mm-hmm.
But they get there. Ash and Charizard want to prove that Ash's Charizard is also strong. There's a lot of rock statues and stuff lining up the path to the valley, and metal doors that close it off, which seems weird because it's open-aired. Like, there's no, like, roof to the place.
I think it's mainly to keep people out.
Well, if you climb the rocks, though. I mean, maybe they're hard to climb, but still. Seems a little weird. I mean, it's not as easy as just walking in, I guess, but still. Seems a little odd. Or, you know, Team Rocket with their hot air balloon, they can just fly over and drop down. And die, but still, they could do it.
They have more of a chance of the Charizard burning them if they're coming from above.
True. So then the lady says that only weak Charizard show off, like Ash's, who's trying to prove how strong he is. And Ash challenges the lady in Charlash. But then the lady's like, well, she trained Charmander as a little girl and raised Charla into Charizard, so it's not like the wild ones in the Charcific Valley. It's not the same. So it wouldn't help. So then the lady lets Ash and everybody inside, and Charizard goes to fight, and he starts off with a sneak attack flamethrower move, but the other Charizard just sucks in the flame and blasts Charizard back. And then the lady, and what's her name, like Liz or something?
I don't know.
Which would make sense, because a lizard.
That would.
I don't remember. Anyway, she offers up the gentlest of the Charizard in the valley, and it also kicks Ash's Charizard's butt with a hit from its tail swing. But Ash's Charizard still won't give up and keeps getting pummeled and could get killed. Meanwhile, Jesse and James thought about stealing their own Charizard from there when they learned about it, but they realized that their chances are slim since those Charizard beat the Charizard that always beats them. Charizard is thrown out, and he keeps banging on the gate, but they won't let him in again, which upsets Team Rocket. They think they should not be disrespecting him. Then Charla beats Charizard and throws him into the water. Charizard is furious, but remains in the water where the lady told him to stay and cool off. He stays there all afternoon, not moving a muscle. Ash tries to coax him to leave, but Charizard refuses. Charizard almost falls asleep when it gets to nighttime and starts dipping its tail in the water, but Team Rocket helps him out by throwing rocks at him to keep him awake. They are totally rooting for Charizard, so this might be considered another team-up Rocket.
Because the group's not teaming up with Team Rocket, but, like, Charizard is.
Yeah, and they're still trying to help the good guys, basically.
Yeah, I just think it counts when they're being good and stuff.
So. Yeah. So Charizard stays there all night long. Even Ash and Co. fall asleep at the steps in front of the gate. Then Team Rocket shows up, and they have a modified motto as they go and try and help Charizard with their robot boy. Like, he looks like a giant robot bug catcher kid. Which kicks at the gate, trying to open it. Then Charizard rushes in and blasts Team Rocket off again. Ding! Because it wouldn't let Team Rocket into the valley, which is kind of what Team Rocket was aiming for. Then the gate opens, and the lady is impressed, and many Charizard were watching, and she offers Charizard to train with them now that it has proven it wants to be great. So Ash tells Charizard to stay, and tearfully leaves him behind before he changes his mind, just like he did in Goodbye Pikachu. And we all saw how that turned out. He even tries the whole insult thing, calling him weak. Like, I don't want a weak Charizard kind of thing. It's a very stereotypical thing in a lot of things to be like, go on, you stupid thing, I don't even like you, to get them to actually go. Mm-hmm. When they do like them.
Yeah.
But unlike the Pikachu Goodbye episode, Charizard does stay and doesn't catch up with Ash. Pikachu and Charizard part on good terms with like a little thumbs up though. Like they're like, all right, we're good. And then move on. So we actually lost. Not only did Ash leave a Pokemon behind, but a very prominent one.
But it wasn't cheating. It wasn't overpowered or anything to have him. He just Charizard. He caught a Charmander, evolved it.
Yeah, I could see an argument maybe. Except that we saw that Charizard did not listen to Ash forever, so that he actually had to work on becoming a good enough trainer for it and train him and stuff. So, like, yeah, I definitely feel like that was not cheating at this point. Like, they showed the work.
I was kind of annoyed they left him back.
And who's that Pokemon this episode is Sunflora. Alright, so our tally this time. We have Friendly Fire. Ash says comments like that really burn him up at one point, and so Charizard burns Ash. Burns him up. Busted Bots, the giant bug catcher robot, gets exploded, like usual. Team Up Rocket. Team Rocket helps Charizard stay awake and then make a fake attack to boost Charizard's confidence. Modified Motto. Now, here's the thing about the motto, is they didn't even really start a motto. Like, it doesn't have the normal entry point, it doesn't have the normal exit, like, outro or anything like that. So I didn't even know, but, like, they didn't say their motto anywhere else. This was a weird episode, as far as motto's concerned, because it, like, never showed up. But they did have, like, a little rhyme, which was kind of in place of it. Therefore, I count it as a modified motto.
Mm-hmm. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
We help Charizard make it through the night. Now we'll help it stand up and fight.
Charizard's determination to succeed is an example for us all.
The least we can do is help a fellow loser. Yeah, but we're gonna act like we ain't helping them.
What the twerps don't know won't hurt them.
Now let's put Robot Boy to work. Yeah, see? Only a little bit of rhyme even going on in there. It was all very weird. And then we have a gotta give them up moment. And that is when Ash, or maybe others, leave a Pokemon behind. Which is the opposite of gotta catch them all.
Yep.
And yeah, Ash leaves Charizard in the Characific Valley to get stronger. Alright.
Well, once we get to a certain point in the seasons, he's not trying to catch them all. He's trying to get the strongest ones. But the other trainer's trying to catch them all.
Way in the future.
Mm-hmm. I've just seen too many of those episodes.
All right, let's rank it. Where do you think Charizard's Burning Ambitions belongs?
I liked it. Probably above Don't Touch That Dial.
I would agree with that, for sure.
Maybe above Fighting Flyer with Fire?
I'd be down with that. And that brings us to episode 19 of season 3. Grin to Win, or Dai Paniku Kimawari Contessuto, or Big Panic Kimawari Contest.
I'm guessing Kimawari is something.
I'm kind of thinking that too. Or it's the name of the town. Hard to say. But I'm leaning towards the Pokemon name being in the title. They seem to like to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so Ash and Co. are super thirsty and reach a town called, well, reach the outskirts of a town called Blooming Vale, which is another made-up town. I mean, all the towns are made up, I guess, because it's a fictional video game, but you know what I mean. They're not in the game. There they see a girl with water as she's fixing some piping, and they ask for a drink. Brock flirts and is pulled off by his ear by Misty as she continues her role in babysitting Brock. The girl was fixing the pipe because it brings fresh water to her property, and then she turns on the sprinkler system and calls out her Sunflora from her greenhouse. Her name is Sunrisa, which looks a lot like sunrise. She wants her Sunflora happy for the festival, as there is a competition for the best Sunflora. Everyone wants to make their Sunflora happy, and a neighbor says one guy hired a comedian to make their Sunflora happy. Lately, Sunrisa's prize Sunflora has been sad, and she had been planning on entering that one into the competition. While the gang go get some sleep at the Pokemon Center, Team Rocket shows up, and James picks the lock again to get into the greenhouse. Which, he was the one that was... He learned that he could pick locks in the Cat Burglar one. He's like, oh, I did it! He was super excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that he's the lockpick guy now. Or at least they're continuing it so far. They plan to steal Sunflora to enter the contest so they can win the prize, which is a whole year of noodles. James apparently knows a lot about Sunflora and can see subtle differences in each of them thanks to spending time with the gardener at his grandma's estate. Meowth trips and hits an alarm and gets caught in a net while Jesse and James run off. So then Ash and Co. show up along with the neighbor who caught the cat burglar. Misty has Meowth shifted to their custody so that they can get Meowth to help them out. And then we see Snubbull show up, sniffing outside the greenhouse. Meowth is...
For some reason, the way you said that just now made it sound so much like Clue F. I don't know how or why, but Snubbull is sniffing outside the greenhouse.
Oh, you know, Clue FX. Yep. I didn't know what you said. I heard FX, and I'm like, yeah, cool.
Clue FX.
Yep.
Because, like, you'll go to a certain spot, and they'll say the person what they're doing. You made it sound like just, like,
that's funny. Meowth is used to translate to find out why the prized Sunflora is so sad. Turns out that a friend of the Sunflora's was a Sunflora that had been taken to another trainer. Then a rope shows up and takes Meowth away, and it was Team Rocket. They were rescuing their partner. The sad Sunflora reunites with its friend, now that they know what was making it so sad, which now belongs to Nurse Joy, and it makes both Sunflora very happy. So then it's time for the festival, and Meowth is there disguised as a Sunflora, which includes his face being stretched into weird proportions and taped. His claws during the competition are mistaken for thorns, which has never been seen on a Sunflora, so he's unique. And Meowth is entered by the trainers named Rock and Etta, or, you know, Rocket. Then Snubbull shows up and runs on stage and sniffs and finds Sunflora Meowth and then bites the tail, causing the disguise to suddenly be discarded. Snubbull found its Meowth tail again.
Yeah, that was funny.
Then we have a normal motto. No interesting parts about it, actually. So we broke that streak. But Meowth does say, Meowth don't bite, instead of that's right, which was kind of fun. Team Rocket has reflectors bring in a ton of sunlight onto the stage, causing the Sunflora's heads to swell too fast, making them heavy so that they can't use their moves and get in the way. Pikachu goes to use his Thundershock, and Chikorita gets jealous and knocks Pikachu off course, which causes the Thundershock to destroy the reflectors instead, which does allow Sunflora to use Solar Beam and send Team Rocket blasting off again! Ding! And this time, who's that Pokemon is? Ho-Oh! which we have seen before in the very first episode, but we will not be seeing next episode.
God, he's so excited. I don't trust him anymore.
Right. So, we have Babysitting Brock. We have a Jumpling Jigglypuff, which is when we have a Pokemon that, like, stalks everybody and pops up. It used to be Jigglypuff, but now it's Snubbull. Yeah.
But they showed Jigglypuff.
Neither one are fairy. Yeah, they showed him in, the first episode. Or her, or whatever. But yeah, neither of the Pokemon are fairy, because fairy doesn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both normal type, actually.
But we know that they're fairy
type. Now they are, yes. And that was it for the tallies. So, we gotta rank it. So, overall, the episode was fine. The plot was simple enough or whatever. I did like that they used Meowth to translate. But the real big highlight was Meowth's disguise and Snubbull showing back up. Which were awesome. So, it's not super high, because that's all that was really, driving it for me. Like, there wasn't anything annoying about it, so it's definitely above some of the other things. I don't know, I'm thinking either under Snubbull Snobbery or Don't Touch That Dial or The Whistle Stop.
I think maybe under Snubbull Snobbery.
Okay. Season 3, Episode 20, Chikorita's Big Upset, or Chikorita wa Gokigen Naname, or, Chikorita's Jealousy. I'm not sure if that's a correct translation or not. I'm wondering. Because wa is usually is or something.
Or it just states the most important thing.
I guess, maybe.
So.
But Chikorita's Jealousy, it makes it sound like the jealousy belongs to Chikorita, which would be no, I think, right? I'm very beginner Japanese, so I could be butchering this, but.
I don't know. I mean, I agree. I would agree if it said no or wa. I think wa is actually more.
So it almost seems like. It's almost like saying Chikorita is jealous or something. Granted, I don't know what Gokigen Naname is, so.
Well, sometimes it sounds like two words when it's just one word.
Right.
So it could be just jealousy.
Could be.
I think it could definitely be a wrong translation, but I think it.
I'm interested to look it up and learn more. Maybe when I get more fluent and actually watch them all in Japanese, I'll have a better understanding. So, Ash is in the middle of a battle with another trainer. That's always exciting to start with those battles. Doesn't happen too often, but it happens every so often. And Chikorita is battling Raticate. With Chikorita beat up a bit and Raticate almost down, he tries to return Chikorita to bring out Pikachu, and Chikorita does not want to return. And so they won't win the match as the kid is called into dinner. Back at the Pokemon Center, Chikorita sits alone and grumpy, and Pikachu tries to help, but is swatted back by Chikorita. Then a glasses-wearing Nurse Joy, because they don't usually wear glasses, shows up, and apparently this one has studied psychology and wants to help Chikorita. Brock, of course, flirts, and Misty pulls his ear back in another babysitting Brock moment.
Mm-hmm.
Nurse Joy explains that Chikorita is jealous of Ash choosing Pikachu over Chikorita, talking about it having envy, and Ash thinks that envy is a Pokemon, just like he thought therapy was, as he is always only thinking of Pokemon. So, we have our first point since starting the tally in One Track Ash, which is where Ash's mind is on a one track. It's always about Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Just like, love is the most important thing. Well, nothing's more important than catching Pokemon. Things like that.
Yep.
And actually, I think we technically have two tallies for that, because he did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Chikorita is brought to a grass and flowery area to relax. Then at night, she pops out of her Pokeball on her own, and the door to her area is left open, so she escapes. Pikachu tries to stop her from leaving, but it doesn't work out. Then Chikorita ends up in a rundown warehouse where she takes a nap on top of a beat-up old box, and she is then surrounded by fighting-type Pokemon, Primeape, Machoke, Hitmonlee, and Hitmonchan. Primeape is making too much noise and annoying Chikorita, so she swats Primeape around, and then she gets after the other three as they try to intimidate, and they are then intimidated instead. So now Chikorita rules the roost. In the morning, Joy, Ash, and Co. are watching the security footage and see that Chikorita left, and Nurse Joy suggests that Chikorita is trying to get his attention. Pikachu is still missing too, as Pikachu is looking for Chikorita. They decide to use Grass-type Bulbasaur to sniff out Chikorita, because of the grass scent. Then Jesse and James overheard, and so they plan to steal Pikachu and Chikorita. Pikachu finds Chikorita, and then Team Rocket pops out! Their intro isn't really any different this time. They just add Pikachu and Chikorita's names at the beginning of their lines. They try to net the two, but Primeape shows up and takes the net away. Then he lines up with his other fighting Pokemon to stand in the way of Team Rocket. So Meowth shows up and he brings out another busted bot. This one is made of tires and stuff, which means, you know, rubber, so electricity doesn't go through it. The robot gets rid of the fighting types, and Pikachu's zaps, of course, do not work. Chikorita's leafs don't seem to work either as she tries to free Pikachu. Then Ash brings out Heracross to help, but then Heracross grabs Bulbasaur for some more pollen slurping in a distracted Pokemon moment. Hilarious. Ash has Heracross launch Ash at the rubber robot, and he misses, landing in a pile of tires. He wants to get to the antenna on top and shut down the robot, so he climbs up a water tower and jumps down and misses again. But this time, Chikorita's vines catch him so he doesn't hit the ground. She gets Ash to the antenna, and he breaks it off, sending the rubber robot all screwy. Ash and his Pokemon get down. The robot explodes and takes Team Rocket with it, and they're blasting off again! Ding! Then everyone is all good with one another again, and off they go.
I think Chikorita and the Fighting-type Pokemon, or the Fighting-type Pokemon, help a little more.
Possibly.
I don't remember how, but I felt like they were...
I know Chikorita helped at the end there with, like, catching Ash and trying to save Pikachu, which was good, because she was always jealous of Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
And our Who's That Pokemon this time is Hoppip. Mm-hmm. And this time it will be the featured Pokemon.
Yep.
And our tally, we got a lot of tallies this time. We have 3 babysitting Brock moments. Misty yanks Brock's head back by his ear 3 times. Then we have 2 one-track Ash moments with mistaking Therapy and Envy as Pokemon. Oh, Ash. Catching catchphrases. 1, Jessie says that the gang should prepare for trouble while they're lurking, but they don't go into the motto at that point. So she's just using the catchphrase outside of the normal time. Busted Bot, the tire robot.
Mm-hmm.
Distracted Pokemon, Heracross sucking pollen out of Bulbasaur's bulb.
Typical Bulbasaur, typical Heracross.
So funny. I love the Heracross Bulbasaur dynamic. Alright, time to rate it. Where does Chikorita's big upset land?
I think it was a pretty good episode.
Certainly amusing moments.
Mm-hmm.
Chikorita ruling the roost and... Well, here, let's try this. Was it better or worse than Tanks a Lot, which was the Sentret and Togepi episode?
I think it's right around there, that one. I think it was better.
You think it was better than Tanks a Lot?
Yeah, maybe. Where do you think it falls?
Well, I just thought Tanks a Lot was a very amusing. That's all. And then there's Fighting Flyer with Fire, which is already is the one right above Tanks a Lot.
I don't know. Not above that one.
Okay, so between Fighting Flyer with Fire and Tanks a Lot?
Sure.
All right. Okay, so then our next episode is 21, Foul Weather Friends, or Haneko Haneta Daisogen no Tatakai, or Haneko's Jealousy, Big Prairie Battle. Jealousy twice? Now I'm very curious.
But the jealousy isn't the same as the other jealousy, is it?
It is not.
I think Haneko is Irish then, right?
Oh, Haneko, it might be. That would make sense if they're talking about jealousy, I guess. Because, yeah, I was thinking it was going to be Hoppip's name, but... Alright, so... Bellsprout show up right off the bat in this episode, so it's great already. And then they see some Vileplume and want to be sure not to breathe in their stun spore, because they remember that from the Orange Island episode.
I would go breathe it in right away. I don't want to see any Bellsprout.
Then they meet a Hoppip, which is then picked up by the breeze. The gang chase after Hoppip as it flies off, and then a girl snatches it with a net, and she has 2 Hoppip with her. Brock jumps into flirtation mode with Mariah, which is her name. Then Misty grabs his ear and says, "Return, Brock!" Which I thought was a hilarious babysitting Brock moment, because she was treating him like a Pokemon. Alright, so then Mariah is a weather forecaster and trains Hoppip to help her. She has a big old netted area to keep her, look like 5 Hoppip? I don't know. They gather together before a breeze, and then she can rate wind on a Hoppip scale. And if the wind only picks up 2 Hoppip, then that is a 2 on the scale. This is ridiculous, unless she regulates each one's weight carefully to keep them all at the, like, not the same weight as each other, but at the same weight that they're supposed to be at, to be able to use that scale. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's
anyway, Then another breeze comes by and picks up a bunch of Hoppip, and another one runs after them. Only this one is a pink Oddish. It wants to be a Hoppip. Misty cleans it up and wipes the pink off, and so we find that it's dressing itself like an Oddish, or like a Hoppip. Mariah has tried to explain to the Oddish, but it really just wants to be a Hoppip so bad. Team Rocket is spying on them all, of course, and Meowth thinks they should steal those Hoppip for a delivery service. But after the discussions, they realize that that's not cost-effective or something, because they ride the wind and go all over the place. Mm-hmm. But they still want Hoppip. They have ideas.
So why don't they just have a delivery service? No one will deliver to people.
So then Team Rocket cuts the net and have a fun little rhyme before they give us an interesting intro. Then they use giant fans to try and send the Hoppip away, but it doesn't work. So then they use giant fans, and what the fans that they use are not like spinning fans, but like to fan yourself when you're warm, like a handheld fan kind of thing or something. Oh. To try to send the Hoppip away, but it doesn't work. So then they get a huge electric fan to blow them. Mariah starts snatching them up with her net as they begin to fly away. They get into a Pokemon battle, and Pikachu explodes the fan, and Team Rocket is blasting off again! Ding! Oh, and it turns out there's 7 Hoppip at this point, and then the Oddish. Then the Hoppip put their leaves together, which means a very strong storm is coming. Because they gather like that whenever there's a big storm to try to keep each other in check. Screw up the whole Hoppip scale.
That one would make sense.
Team Rocket is walking along dejected, and then get caught in the tornado as it approaches, which sends Team Rocket blasting off again! But no ding this time. Aww. No ding. They didn't ding that. They did blast off again, which was funny. The gang and Mariah are taking shelter with the Hoppip and Oddish as the tornado comes by, but the tornado rips off the roof and grabs all the Hoppip and the Oddish, so now they need to go out looking for them. They find Oddish pretty quick in the wreckage. Oddish can sense the direction of the wind and leads the way to rescue the Hoppip. They find one in a tree. Another one is stuck in a branch in the rushing river. There's another flying above them all. And Team Rocket has had 4 land in their balloon. Then they see the flying one and capture it. Misty has Staryu pop the balloon, causing Team Rocket to crash off in some woods. Then there is another Pokemon battle. And Victory Bell is a distracted Pokemon and eats James again. Haven't had that for a bit. Oddish wants to fight and battles Victory Bell. Turns out it has a great kick from all the hopping that it does, trying to be like a Hoppip. And then it uses Stun Spore, Sleep Powder, and more kicking to take out Team Rocket's Pokemon. And ends it all against Meowth when it uses Solar Beam to blast them away. To which Team Rocket says, "We're blasting out of business!" Ding! Ding.
So, what's that called?
We're off again. The gang helped repair the house, and then they say goodbye, and Brock tries to stay, but Misty is babysitting Brock again and drags him away. And our Who's That Pokemon this episode is Gligar! So we had 2 babysitting Brock moments. Misty yanks Brock away and continues ringing his ear for a bit the first time, and then she drags him away at the end, too. We had an interesting intro.
Prepare for trouble and a big surprise.
Make it double. Because we're in disguise. Distracted Pokemon, because Victory Bell eats James. And we're off again, because we're blasting out of business. So they had to blast off 3 times for them to say something different this time. But they did. And that is our tally for that episode. So now rating.
I personally like the whole thing with Oddish, but I don't...
Yeah, I do like the Oddish part. It's cute, and it does some really cool action at the end. It shows that it can be a benefit, especially with all the training it went through to be like a Hoppip, apparently, getting strong legs.
And Misty, like, I think at the end, was like, it doesn't matter if you're a Hoppip or not.
Yeah. So yeah, that was all good stuff, but overall, I had to watch it twice, and when it was coming up, I'm like, I don't want to watch this episode again.
You just don't like the Hoppip scale, because you're very particular.
No, it was more of a, like, nothing happens. I just want to move on. Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's probably below Don't Touch That Dial, at least.
Sure. Maybe right above the Whistle Stop, the Ladybug one? Or do you think the Ladybug one's better?
Might say the Ladybug one's better. Okay.
Then I'm going to put it under Whistle Stop and above Little Big
Horn. Sounds perfect.
All right. And so I lied earlier. We're actually doing 8 episodes this week. So this is our second to last one. Episode 22. The Superhero Secret. Or Nazo no Superhero Gurai Gaman Tojo. Mysterious Superhero. Gligerman appears. So Gurai Gu is probably Gligar. Alright, so the gang is walking through the woods and a Gligar flies through. Ash wants to find it and catch it. And they fall into a pit where we get an interesting intro right off the bat.
We dug a hole to give you trouble.
Then we dug some more to make it double. Team Rocket put a cage above the hole and then start filling it up with water. Ash was about to use Pikachu's Thundershock, but the others stop him again because he's always trying to do that even when water's around, and that's a bad idea.
We should have silly Ash moments. Everyone else stops him because he's just being stupid.
Then Gligar shows up and smashes a hole through the bamboo cage and rescues Togepi. And then a guy in a Gligar costume laughs and gives a hero speech. He is Gligar Man! Team Rocket don't think superheroes are real, but then Gligar Man has Gligar beat them up. After Team Rocket leaves, the gang is free and Gligar Man jumps away, but falls out of the tree. And then he delivers Togepi. Runnin' jumps into the bushes where he gets on his Gligar cycle. He gives the gang a whistle to call on Gligar Man whenever they need him before he takes off. Also, this guy had a nice round belly, so like middle-aged adult kind of guy going on here.
Mm-hmm.
The gang enter town and find a store for Gligar Man toys. In there, they find LaToya working, which is another pretty girl for Brock. Then a guy, who turns out to be LaToya's dad, enters and says he can tell them all they need to know about Gligar Man, and he is the owner of the store. He plays a movie for them, and it shows a much more muscular-looking Gligar Man flying around with Gligar. Gligar Man beats supervillains and ends up on a very Daily Planet-looking building, which is interesting because Gligar Man looks more like Batman than Superman, but whatever.
Yeah, he makes me think more Batman-esque.
The gang learns that Gligar Man was invented to be a cool toy, and Gligar Man had a costume to help sell them. He became so popular and was also needed, and like they needed a superhero around there to help fight crime, and so he became Gligar Man. Also, this guy has a mansion and a secret laboratory, like the Batcave. A whistle goes off, and so the screens reveal that the store is under attack by the Team Rocket supervillains. And here, I wasn't sure what Jessie's costume is supposed to be. Like, she has some kind of very exotic, like, supervillain costume. But then James and Meowth are in Metapod costumes. And they're supposed to transform everybody else into Metapods, so they throw Metapod costumes on all the other people that are at the store. It's really bizarre. And then they bring out their Spinarak bot, which means we're gonna have another tally for busted bots.
A lot of busted bots in this.
Yeah, there really was a ton. Like, it was almost every episode has one, I think. And then they are about to unmask Gligar Man after catching him and the gang, but all the workers call him Mr. Parker, and he realizes his employees know who he is already.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gligirl shows up. Ash?
Which was a much bigger moment just now because she didn't like her dad being Gligar Man.
That's true. She kept worrying about him and thinking that he shouldn't do it.
There was a lot of it. So this
but now
is supposed
you just
to be
spoiled
a big
who she is. Because it's not obvious at all. I mean, Ash has no idea who she is, and Brock thinks she's awesome, like LaToya.
It's supposed to be a big moment. I feel like you missed all the build up here.
I did. You are correct. I forgot about that part. No, and I'm not giving you crap. I just think it's funny that they have no idea who she is, because we all know who Gligirl was.
Well, yes. And it's partially because there was more build-up.
True. So Gligirl commands Gligar and helps free Gligar Man and Ash. Gligar and Pikachu deal with Team Rocket, and the Spinarak bot is shorted out and is acting weird and then explodes, sending Team Rocket blasting off again! Ding! Gligar Man knows it is his daughter, and he says she's great. Brock agrees that his daughter is great and wonders where she went. Oh man. And by the end, they all know who they are, and the father and daughter decide to work together and argue who gets to be in control of Gligar. And then the gang leave. And our Who's That Pokemon this episode is Mareep. So our tally, we have interesting intro, which we have already quoted for you. Babysitting Brock. Misty yanks Brock away from LaToya by his ear again. And busted bots. Team Rocket has that Spinarak bot. Now to rank it.
I thought it was okay. I kind of like the whole Batman-esque.
Yep. Honestly, my favorite part was just when everybody was being super dumb, especially Brock, about LaToya and Glad Girl.
Yeah.
Many shows do, like, their own take on superheroes and that are usually goofier and stuff, and I guess it gets a little old for me, so it wasn't too standout for me. But I did enjoy the supervillain aspect of Team Rocket. Like, I like it when they take on this new role, like the Cat Burglars, and now they're supervillains. The whole Metapod thing was just bizarre.
It's not, like, in the top. It's not the worst.
Well, I definitely think it probably belongs above For Crying Out Loud.
Yeah.
So I guess, let's see, Flower Power. That's the Bellossom episode. You think it's better or worse than that?
Probably worse.
Okay, sounds fair. All right, now for our last episode for our coverage this week. Episode 23, Mild and Wooly, or Meripu to Makiba no Shoujo, or Meriep Meadows Girl, which is Mareep. Mm-hmm. So Mareep is Meripu. The gang takes a break to eat in a beautiful spot. Ash starts choking, and Pikachu uses some friendly fire to save him. It works.
Yeah.
And that electricity apparently caused Mareeps to show up, or a Mareep to show up, because they all see this Mareep with a bell around its neck. The Mareep starts charging at them and tackles Pikachu for cuddles. Pikachu zaps Mareep, but it just makes Mareep's fleece grow more. Then a ton more Mareep show up and surround Pikachu, and he zaps them all, just puffing all of them up. That's when a little girl runs in and tells the Mareep to leave Pikachu alone. Mary, the little girl, sees her mom show up, and Raichu shoots electricity into a shower over the Mareep, which has them all dance around in it. So we have another electricity hurting stuff going on.
Yep.
Which is always fun for more world building. But interesting that they went with electric type again. Just like the Magnemites and Jolteon. And it's not Jolteon, it's Raichu. Jolteon's so much cooler. Mm-hmm. So the woman commands the Mareep to go back and sends Raichu to make sure that they stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
Then she tells Mary to get back to the house as well. Back at the house, Ash and Ko are given some food and drink and an explanation that the Mareeps love electricity. Mary admits that she was thinking about Pokemon battles, and that's why the Mareep got away from her. Mary's mother disapproves her daughter daydreaming about battling in the festival. She is too young, and if she can't keep the Mareep in check in the field, then how does she expect to train one for battle? Brock offers everyone's help with the Mareep to get them ready for the festival, for the judging and things, because of course, you know, he's a bit smitten. Off in the distance, Team Rocket is spying, and James starts counting all the Mareep, and he falls asleep, which is hilarious. Turns out, Mareep wool is super expensive, and so they want to steal them. James wakes up and talks about how almost all his clothes were made up of Mareep wool, because he grew up rich, and him going on about it infuriates the other two. Mary ends up having her little Mareep attack a dummy. The little Mareep is named Fluffy. I love it when the Pokemon have nicknames.
I think it's funny that the Hermareep is little, so little lamb, and her name is Mary. So
yeah,
Mary.
I'm pretty sure they named her Mary specifically because of that, at least in the American version. But yes, that is funny. I'm with you there. So yeah, the little Mareep, she named it Fluffy, so fun that it has a nickname, and she's been training with it for a long time. Mary asks if Ash will have a battle with her using his Pikachu. So they have a big old battle. Fluffy is super tired by the end. Pikachu had gotten tired too, which is why Ash stopped him mid-battle. This is a moment for Mary to learn to care for Fluffy's energy and feeling, because she seems, like, confused that he would call him back. And it's like, well, like, you gotta notice how your Pokemon's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
She cared about winning too much. That evening, they go back to the house and have a nice meal. Mary isn't there, however. She is back at the barn with Fluffy and talks about what she's learned, knows she's not ready to battle now, because of Ash's lesson and how she'd just been too focused on winning. And her mother is there and overhears what Mary says.
Mm-hmm.
Then a storm shows up. Lots of wind, and it blows a hoot hoot hilariously out of a tree. Mary's mother wakes everyone up to get some help. They are being led by Raichu to get to a place for the Mareep to get into a good position to soak up energy from the electrical storm. The gang hangs out behind a rock and they watch as lightning strikes the Mareep. All the Mareep are glittering after the storm passes, and they seem in prime condition for the festival. And then the Mareep are captured in a net. Team Rocket gives us an interesting intro.
Prepare for trouble and bully for us.
Make it double, now it's woolly for us. Team Rocket are dressed in fine Mareep wool coats, it looks like, and their balloon is covered in lights. Then Raichu shoots lightning at the balloon, and it is absorbed and sends those lights twinkling like crazy. Raichu keeps pouring it on and overloads the generator, setting the balloon on fire. This frees all the captured Pokemon. Raichu is exhausted now, so now we go into a Pokemon battle with Weezing and Arbok. It doesn't go well, and so then the only electric Pokemon zap Team Rocket, and they go blasting off again! Ding! Then Mary's mom gives Mary a Pokeball and trusts her to battle now. And then we see her in a stadium battling with Fluffy. Yay. And our Who's That Pokemon is Scizor. Mm-hmm. Alright. And so our tally was Friendly Fire with Pikachu zapping Ash to save him from choking. And interesting intro, which we've read and quoted for you. Alright, so I definitely like world building stuff, but it wasn't as cool as the ranching one with the Magnemite and Jolteon. But I did like how she, like, I liked how Ash was training her, like, training her to be a good trainer too. And she actually, like, grew and learned from it. She wasn't an annoying kid at all, which is awesome.
She was not annoying.
Yeah, like, it wasn't necessarily, like, super funny or anything like that. But there was just some good stuff. Like, it didn't, the overall plot didn't matter either, like, for Ash's group. But there was just a lot of cool stuff in this one, I felt like.
Yep.
So, I'm kind of high on that one. I think I almost want to put it above Once in a Blue Moon, which was the Quagsire GS Ball.
I can definitely see it being
It would be right underneath Ignorance's Blissey, which was the backstory of Blissey and Jesse.
I think I can be good there.
Yeah? Alright. Okay, so that means our rankings as of now of 23 episodes are number 23, Roll On Pokemon, 22, About with Sprout, 21, For Crying Out Loud, 20, The Superhero Secret, 19, Flower Power, 18, The Little Bighorn, 17, Foul Weather Friends, 16, The Whistle Stop, 15, Don't Touch That Dial, 14, Grin to Win, 13, Snubble Snobbery, 12, Tanks a Lot, 11, Chikorita's Big Upset, 10, Fighting Flyer with Fire, 9, Charizard's Burning Ambitions, 8, Once in a Blue Moon, 7, Mild and Woolly, which means our top 6 have not changed, which are Ignorance is Blissey, 5, The Chikorita Rescue, 4, Illusion Confusion, 3, Spinarak Attack, 2, Double Trouble Header, and 1, A Sappy Ending. And our current totals for the tally, if I have everything tallied correctly, are 2 jumping Jigglypuffs, 16 babysitting Brocks, 20 interesting intros, 1 for Jessie's beauty, but I might need to revisit that because, well, it was Jessie's hair, but I think just her beauty in general might be a thing we want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
20 for distracted Pokemon, 8 for We're Off Again, 4 for catching catchphrases, 6 for Friendly Fire, 4 for modified mottos, 2 broken bridges, 2 Togepi troubles, 1 recurring rival, 1 entertaining exit, 8 busted bots, most of them coming from this group of episodes, 3 irritating interruptions, 2 gotta catch 'em alls, 1 Psyduck sighting, 2 team up rockets, 1 gotta give 'em up, and 2 one track Ash.
For a little bit when you were reading there, it sounded like you were singing the 12 Days of Christmas songs.
I agree. When I said 2 broken bridges is about where I thought it sounded like that.
Yeah.
Alright. And with all those out of the way, I think that means it is time for some Pokemon cards. And because we have Shrouded Fable stuff, we'll be opening some Shrouded Fable. My pack has like that patch run pit, something like that. I don't remember what it's called, but that's what's on mine.
Mine's like a bird. With a pink thing.
Oh, it's like the pheasant thing. Like, pheasant is part of its name, but I don't remember exactly what its name is.
Pheasant-dippity?
Like serendipity, but pheasant-dippity. Yep. Yeah.
And it's Scarlet and Violet Shrouded Fables, of course.
So I think this week it's you who get to start off.
Okay. My first Pokemon is Exum, Dragon type. If you see particular teeth marks on boulders or trees, it means an Axwell is likely living nearby. Golbat, Dark type, evolves from Zubat. It loves to drink other creatures' blood. It's said that if it finds others of its kind going hungry, it sometimes shares the blood it's gathered.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Meowth, Normal type. It loves things that sparkle when it... When it sees a shiny object, the gold coin on its head shines too. Hey, a Zubat for my Golbat.
Perfect.
Dark type. It emits ultrasonic waves from its mouth to check its surroundings. Even in tight caves, Zubat flies around with skill. Pokemon tool, Power Glass, trainer card. Slitherwing, Fighting Ancient. This mysterious Pokemon has some similarities to a creature that an old book introduced as Slitherwing. Supporter card, Colorless Tenacity.
Colorless Tenacity.
Colorless Tenacity, trainer card. A reverse holo Meowth, exact same as the other one, except... Oh, another reverse holo. Faxur evolves from Axu, for my...
Oh, perfect.
Dragon type. It has an ability under... Unnerve. Whenever your opponent plays an item or supporter card from their hand, prevent all effects of that card done to this Pokemon. Faxur uses its thick tusks to neatly cut prey in two portions. One to eat now and one to save for later. Isn't that love? My rare is Cresselia. Looks really pretty.
Well, that was the,
And it has, like, the crescent moon.
Yeah, Cresselia is the Pokemon that Giovanni had this last season time frame of stuff. In Pokemon Go.
It looks really pretty. Psychic. Shiny particles are released from its wings like a veil. It is said to represent the crescent moon.
I don't see it.
Then a metal type.
Alright. I have Zerua, Dark type. To protect themselves from danger, they hide their true identities by transforming into people and Pokemon. I have Beware, evolves from Stuffle, colorless. Once it accepts you as a friend, it tries to show its affection with a hug. Letting it do that is dangerous. It could easily shatter your bones. Sneasel, water type. This is a smart and sneaky Pokemon. A pair may work together to steal eggs by having one lure the parents away.
That's just cruel.
Yep. Eevee! Colorless. Its genetic code is irregular. It may mutate if it's exposed to radiation from element stones. I bet you didn't know that. Iron Moth. Fire. Future. No records exist of this species being caught. Data is lacking, but the Pokemon's traits match up with an object described in an old book.
Ooh, I think I've gotten an Iron Moth before.
Janine's Secret Art. Choose up to two of your dark Pokemon. For each of these Pokemon, search your deck for a basic dark energy and attach it to that Pokemon. Then shuffle your deck. If you attach energy to your active Pokemon in this way, it is now poisoned. 06 Machinations. Your opponent discards cards from their hand until they have three cards in their hand. Reverse Holo of Power Glass. At the end of your turn, after your attack, if the Pokemon this card is attached to is in the active spot, you may attach a basic energy from your discard pile to it.
I got a Power Glass, not Reverse Holo.
Ooh, Reverse Holo Zoroark evolves from Zerua. Each has the ability to fool a large group of people simultaneously. They protect their lair with illusory scenery.
Cool.
And my last one, my rare, is a psychic type. It's called Cresselia. I don't need to read the description. We already know. It's the same card you get.
Yep.
And then I got a fighting type energy. All right, and I think that wraps all this up. So, next week we will be covering three chapters of the Pokemon Adventures manga, and then we will be covering five episodes of the manga, and that will catch us up to the second gym. So then the episode after that, we will be back to the video game. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunter Field Institute production. You can find us on YouTube at Hunterfield Inns. We are on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and a few other places, I believe. So go ahead and wherever you find us, like, subscribe, rate, review, leave comments. And if you want to get a hold of us by email, we are at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. And I also post sometimes on X at hunterfieldins, and on Instagram at kinetic_card. And so with all that out of the way, it's time to sign off. So we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye. Bye. Part 19. Battling Brock. As the Pokeballs fell, Brock quickly backed up to his end of the battlefield. The less experienced Violet stood there and watched to see what Pokemon would emerge from the gym leader's Pokeball. Exploding out was a serious-looking Geodude, and Violet's Spearow shot out to meet him. The girl had not had time to really work with her new bird Pokemon, but she wasn't planning on it winning the fight. She just needed a buffer to see what she was dealing with. "Ha! Interesting choice!" Brock called out. "But you should know, Rock-type are resistant to normal and Flying-type attacks."
"Right, I forgot about that."
Violet scolded herself for not thinking it all the way through. But she had never taken on a gym leader before, and she was desperate to win since that pink-haired girl had already done it. In fact, it was all Pink Hair's fault anyway for getting in her head. Normally, Violet would have been smarter than that. "Geodude! Defense Girl!" The Geodude curled up, covering up his face, which was likely where he was most vulnerable. Violet looked confused.
"Why didn't he send his Pokemon into attack?"
She shrugged and shouted out a command to Spearow.
"Peck that Geodude!"
The Spearow shot into the air and then zoomed down toward the boulder Pokemon and brought its sharp beak down hard. It then cried out in shock and pain while the Geodude didn't even flinch. Violet knew it wouldn't do much to the opponent, especially in that defensive stance, but she figured it would have at least been acknowledged.
"Tighten up that defense, Geodude!"
The Pokemon obeyed and wrapped its arms around itself even tighter. This continued lack of attacking really baffled the girl, but as she opened her mouth to give out a new command, she realized her mistake.
"All right, let's go again. Pet, no wait! Spearow, growl!"
Changing directions midway sent the bird in a circle, confused for a moment, but then it caught up with what it was being told and growled at the boulder beneath it. Brock grinned as he looked across the field to his opponent.
"Ah, maybe you do know a thing or two about battles."
The gym leader cracked his knuckles and then shouted out,
"All right, Geodude, time to tackle!"
For a rock, the Pokemon was fast. It shot into the air and collided hard with Spearow, knocking the bird to the ground. It got up and flapped some dust off itself and into Violet's eyes. Wiping it away, she realized she needed to back up instead of standing right in the middle of the battle zone. She told Spearow to growl again, which it did while taking another hit from Geodude. Spearow seemed to weather it a bit better that time, being on the ground. But then it took off to circle the boulder to growl again. The next tackle returned Spearow to the dirt floor, and this time it struggled mightily to pick itself up. It needed to get out of there soon, or it would be too battered to even remember a battle had taken place.
"Way to go, Spearow. It's time to come back."
She held out the Pokeball, and a beam of light collected the bird and brought it back to safety within its Pokeball. Violet threw out another Pokeball, releasing her father's Zubat.
"Go Lucky!"
"Another flyer, huh? Interesting choice. Is that all you've got on you?"
"Wouldn't you like to know?"
Violet crossed her arms and stared the gym leader down. Brock shrugged and then issued another tackle command to his Geodude. Zubat was hit, but then with a command of
Leech Life,
it dove in and latched onto the rock, draining some of its energy away for itself. Then the Geodude grabbed Zubat's wing and threw the creature to the ground and jumped on top of it. Had it hit just as hard as the other tackles, it would have been hard to keep going, leeching life every chance it could get. But this was even harder, and Violet wasn't even sure she should keep the poor thing out there. But she had a plan, and she wanted to see it through. The question was if the Zubat could even pull it off. He seemed confused the last time Violet tried the command. She crossed her fingers and said,
"Lucky, supersonic!"
The sound was so shrill and painful that Violet covered her ears and winced. When it stopped, she looked up to see if it had even worked, but couldn't tell from Geodude's expression.
"That's enough! Geodude, end this!" The rock Pokemon nodded, and then that's when Violet saw it. Its eyes had drifted slightly when it had done that. It was having a tough time concentrating. The supersonic had worked!
Won't stop the Geodude? How confused is it?
Geodude tried to lock its eyes on the Zubat, but struggled to focus. Then, in a flash, it charged forward, leapt, and landed on the other side of the Zubat and rolled right into a wall, knocking itself out.
Yes!
Nicely done! Brock returned Geodude and then grabbed his next Pokeball to toss out. In that moment, Violet took the opportunity to quickly return the Zubat and send out another Pokemon herself. Now let's see how you handle... He tossed the Pokeball, and it burst open, releasing a huge Pokemon that, at first, Violet thought might just be a stack of Geodudes. But it wasn't that at all. It was... Onix! To be continued...